continuing our series, we started called A Royal Heart. And we've been talking about living up to the kingdom, not down to the world. And my hope for this series is that it will inspire you and it'll challenge you. Okay, that when you start dealing with issues of the heart, it's challenge you to reach up for the identity that God has for you as a son or daughter of God. If you follow Jesus Christ, if He is your Savior, if God is your Lord, then that means that God has a plan for your heart, and it's to cultivate it into what we're calling a royal heart. So here's what 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9 says your identity is, but you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood. There's where we get the word. A holy nation, God's special possession. So if God called you to have a royal heart, then He called you to have a heart that's full of passion and one that's engaged in the battle. One that wholeheartedly pursues God with everything that you have. Apathy has no place in the heart of a royal priesthood, of a child of God, of a son or daughter of God. Apathy is in the heart of a rebellious heart. Apathy lives in an orphaned heart or an enslaved heart or a Pharisee heart, but not in a royal heart. Acts 13:22, we've been looking at the life of David, and here's what it says about him. After removing Saul, He made David their king. God testified concerning him, I have found David, son of Jesse, a man after my own heart. He will do everything I want him to do. Here's what's crazy about David. When the entire nation was hiding from Goliath, David was running toward him in faith. When David was worshiping the Lord and his wife said, you need to stop all that, he went and worshiped the Lord even more. When David's men said they were going to stone him to death because of all the bad things that had been happening to them, David said, put your stones down and let's go get back the stuff that somebody stole from us. He was a man after God's own heart, and he just beat to the sound of a different drum. He had the heart of a king before he even was a king. So he is an incredible picture to us of what it looks like to have the kind of heart that God wants to put in each one of us. A royal heart is a heart that is filled with passion for God and for the things of God. Now, I want to say this caveat before we get into today's message, okay? If you are in a season of suffering, if you are in a crisis, if you are in a season of healing or grief or trauma, this message is not for you today. This service is for you. This message is not for you today. The day will come, this message will be for you. But if you try to apply the things I'm teaching today, it's very likely you'll hurt yourself, okay? So I want to say that caveat. There's grace for you. There's space for you. There's room for you. But if you try to, but you're in a unique season if you're in one of those categories, and you need to acknowledge that. I've been through those seasons, and I'm telling you, I would not have tried to apply what I'm telling you today when I was in those seasons, because it would have been counterproductive. So that's my thought of wisdom for you today. Now, for the rest of us, for everybody else, what does the Bible teach us? Love the Lord your God with all your heart. How's that going? How you doing with that? It's not just all about the heart. It's about the whole heart. We're not supposed to live lives of apathy and indifference. Jeremiah 29:13 says, you will seek me and find me when you seek me with all your, come on, heart. So what I want to do this morning is I just want to give you a typical Christian journey. Because what God calls us to do is not to love Him with part of our heart, half our heart, most of our heart, all of our heart. But let me just give you the typical journey that I think a Christian goes on, right? All of us go on this. Sometimes, most of us cycle through it many times in our life. But here's where it starts. It starts with awareness. And so, we've got this little graphic you can kind of see how it moves. Here's what the awareness phase is like. Some of you, maybe you're online this morning. Maybe you're new today. You may be in this very season right now. It's where you're starting to think about spiritual things more than you did before. Maybe you have questions that new questions that you didn't have before. Maybe something has happened in your life, or maybe it's bad and it's caused you to kind of, you know, have these questions, or maybe just something undefinable is happening in your life. You don't really know what to call it, but you know something's changing, even though you don't know how to define it, but you just know you're more interested in spiritual things, and there's an increased openness inside of your life, and you're just trying to figure it all out. That's a great place to be. And you have this growing awareness of God, and then one day you meet Jesus and you surrender your life to Him and you start this relationship with Jesus. Then you move to the second phase, which is the honeymoon phase. That's where you wake up every morning and all you can think about is Jesus. You wake up every morning and you start reading the Bible and digging through. You're like, how did an hour go by? I didn't intend to read for an hour. I was just sitting here reading this. And man, I started doing chain references and looking at other places in the Bible and doing a word study. Man, I got lost in this thing. And truth is just jumping off the page. And every time the doors of the church are open, you're here and you've already tried 9 life groups out. And people are like, man, I keep seeing you everywhere I go. You're serving everywhere there is to serve. This morning when I hand you this, you're going to sign up for every spot in kids ministry simultaneously. Your hair is on fire. And what you're starting to do is you're starting to clean your life out. You know, you're throwing away your old albums. You know, you're cleaning the house. You're unsubscribing from stuff. You're canceling streaming services, junk that's been collected in the house. You're getting rid of it because it doesn't honor God, and you're cleaning it all out. You're blocking websites. Man, this is the honeymoon phase. And then what happens is after a little while, it starts to level off into what we call the normalcy phase. Because the upfront excitement is gone. And you start to use the word season to describe everything. Well, the season that I'm in right now, you know, the season, you hear that? The season that I'm in. Yeah, I mean, you know, every day's not exciting and everything's not easy. And, you know, every day with God's not going to be good. And He just wants us to be faithful. And I'm just in a season right now where God's growing my faithfulness and I'm trying to become more faithful. And, you know, it's not as exciting as it used to be. And I get tired. But you know what? I'm just going to keep plugging on and keep plugging away. And then all of a sudden, kind of like a wet towel falling to the ground, you drop into the apathy phase. And this is where you continue to say the right things because you know the right things to say. And you do most of the right things. But your heart's just not in it as much as it used to be, and you start to have internal questions, whether you verbalize them outside or not, and you start to say things like, I mean, does it really matter? Does it really matter if I show up? Does it really matter if I'm there every week? Does it really matter if I read my Bible today? Does it really make a difference? I mean, I read it. I didn't get anything out of it. I don't understand what it's saying. It's like it's written, you know, in another language a long time ago, and it's not really relevant today, and you know, I'm just going to skip church this week because I need a me day. I need a me day. And, you know, I'll just call them and tell them I can't show up and serve this week. And I'll catch up another time. I'm tired. I'm going to sleep in. Man, I was going to tithe, but, man, the economy's tight and my finances have been tight. And I had this bill out of nowhere. And, you know, I'll just catch up next time. Here's the thing, though. If you press through the apathy phase, you get to this next phase that I'm just going to call mature passion. Mature passion. That's where a royal heart is formed. It's when you have passion regardless of the circumstances. It's when you have passion in the valley and you have passion in the mountain. It's when you're engaged when things are going good and you're engaged when things are going bad. But you have to go through the valley of apathy to get to mature passion. Now, a lot of people think that the honeymoon phase is passion. The honeymoon phase is not passion. It's excitement. And if you're not excited in the honeymoon phase, something's wrong. You're not in it. You missed it. You mislabeled it. But excitement and passion aren't the same thing. A royal heart that God is developing in us is a heart of sustainable and mature passion. Passion is defined by what am I willing to sacrifice for? Honeymoon's not a sacrifice. Excitement's not a sacrifice. You're just pulled in like a magnet. But boy, mature passion, then it's like, whew, what am I willing to sacrifice for? Let's put this in a different context and see if it makes sense. So imagine this relational timeline in a marriage, right? All of a sudden, you start to become aware of someone else. You go, oh, look at that little cutie right there. That's interesting. Isn't she cute? Isn't he cute? You know? And then you start to date. And then you fall in love. And then all of a sudden you start to say, he's the best thing ever. He's so good. Look at him. He's perfect. Look at his teeth. Look at his hair. He's perfect. Look at his little outfit he's got on. He's perfect. Isn't this great? And then you get engaged, and then you get married, and then you're in the honeymoon phase, and you go, could life get any better? And you use words like ever. He's the best ever. So good ever. Could you believe ever? So good ever. You use words like ever all the time, and better, and ever, and better, and ever. And it's so good, life can't get any better. And then you hit the normalcy phase, and you start to look at him and say, why did I think he was so great? What was I looking at? Then you start to look at her and think, I didn't notice those annoying habits before. Has she always done that? Has she always dressed like that? Has she always talked like that? Has he always gnashed his teeth when he ate? I didn't notice that before. And then apathy phase sets in, and you start to say things like, why didn't my mom talk me out of marrying him? Where was she at? Where were the people who were supposed to love me? And he never takes out the trash, and he never is on time. And those words, those ever and better, turned into never and always. She always criticizes me, and she never listens. And you're just like, meh. Here's the thing, though. If you press through that, that's where marriage gets good. You press through to the mature passion. And you know what's interesting about that? In the honeymoon phase, all you see is the good. In the apathy phase, all you see is the bad. In the mature passion phase, you see the good and you see the bad, and you're not mistaken about either one of them. You just believe by faith that God is good and he has a plan for all of it. And you see all of it. Now, there are two places where most people quit. The two red X's. The first one is when you're coming out of normalcy and you're going into apathy. And you know why most people put their jersey up and go home right there? They quit because they have falsely believed that following Jesus should never be hard. There should never be unanswered questions. It should never be difficult. Everything should be fine. I should be floating up here on the excitement honeymoon phase the rest of my life. And if I can't stay up there, something's wrong. Something's wrong with me. Something's wrong with my faith. Something's wrong with God. Something's wrong with Jesus. Something's wrong with Christianity. Something's wrong with that church I've been going to. Something's wrong. They're not feeding me there. The Spirit's not moving over there anymore. Something's wrong. That's what they think. And so what they do is they bottom out right there and they go, I'm out. And we quit. Or we chug through the apathy valley and we're just starting to come out and God's just about to bring a breakthrough. And we say, ah, I can't do it. I can't go another day. I got a question for you today. On this timeline, where's your heart? Where are you at? Where's your heart? Matthew 15:8 says, these people honor me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. What does that mean? They look the part. They say the right things. They show up to a few things. But if they're really, really honest, their heart is not really in it. And you can tell by the things that we have passion for and the things that we don't have passion for. Right? You ask somebody, oh, hey, man, you know, it's Sunday. What do you have? And you go, yeah, you know, God's good. You can go to church. We'll get my church on. It's going to be so good. You know, can't wait. God's so good. He's so good. Tomorrow I'm going to get up and read a little Bible thought. You just be good. You know, it's going to be so good. I'll mumble out some prayers maybe about Wednesday. Kind of slide back into church on Sunday if I can make it. You know, if I can, my schedule can loosen up. I might, loosens up, I might can, you know, they're kind of, God's good, man. Everything's good. Kind of just chill. Well, tell me something God's doing in your life. Man, he's just good, man. I mean, that's just what it is. That's all I got. He's good. That's all I got. But you ask him about Alabama or Auburn football. Come on. I can't believe that referee made that call. I can't believe what this new coach is doing. What happened to the SEC? What happened to college football? I can't believe. Can you believe what's happening right now? Wow, there's the passion. Where was that at a minute ago? Right? Or politics. We've got to get busy about this election. Oh, God's good. We got to get busy about it. We got to get to the polls. We got to vote. We got to stand. We got to stand. We got to go. The country's going to hell in a handbasket. We got to do something. Where was that passion? We're talking about Jesus. You know, ruler of the universe. God's good. Have you seen this new restaurant they opened downtown? It's amazing. It's the best thing I've ever eaten. They bring food out on little crackers. They got a little whip thing on it. I've never even seen anything. It's so good. It's so good. Passion. Passion. I love it so much. Or you'll never guess where we're going to go in 2026. We've been saying, we're going to Hawaii. Vacation is going to be the greatest thing that we've ever seen. How's your relationship with Jesus? God's good. So good. You can tell. Is that the same person? Do you know what the first commandment says? You shall have no other gods before me. You know what that means? It means you shouldn't have any idols. Do you know? Look, an idol's not a statue in your yard. It's something in your heart that you're more passionate about than Jesus. That's what an idol is. Now, it doesn't mean that we should be apathetic and numb about everything else in the whole world but Jesus. We should have no other passion. Listen, I was up in my living room yesterday screaming at the TV when they made that bad call. I'm like, that should have been a touchdown. I was up there yelling at the TV. You know why? Because I'm an Alabama fan and I'm an SEC fan and I'm a college football fan and I have other passions. And it's okay to have other passions. It's okay to have a lot of passions, but you should have one passion that is above all other passions. And it's your passion for Jesus. So here's the question. Is Jesus your number one passion? You know how you get to the mature passion? Is you've got to learn to deal with seasons of apathy. Because we all have them. We all have them. And you have to learn how to deal with them. If you don't learn how to deal with them and to walk through them, you will be stuck in spiritual immaturity for life. And that's not a place you want to be. So if you press through, you'll cultivate a royal heart. Now, there's this incredible story in 2 Kings chapter 13 that shows us what a royal heart's supposed to look like. The prophet Elisha, who was the man of God who spoke for God, he brought messages from God to the king. And he came to the king and he said to the king, he said, King, pick up these arrows that you see across the room and I want you to strike them on the ground. So the king went over and he picked the arrows up. And he said, okay, these? Yes, these. Okay, good. All right, what do you want me to do? Strike them on the ground. Okay. And now look, the most interesting thing happened. The prophet said, that was a test. And you failed the test. And now you're going to have temporary victory, but you're not going to have lasting victory, basically, because your heart was not in it. On the outside, you look like a king, but on the inside, your heart's full of apathy. And you're not going to have lasting victory because your heart wasn't in it. You failed the test because inside of you is full of apathy. You know what the thing here is, though? He only struck it three times. Ah, well, whatever. I guess I'll check the box. you know, I'll do the thing. I'll take the step. I'll do whatever it is. But man, I'm not going to do it. And Elijah said, have you have struck it 5 or 6 times, you would have had lasting victory, because that would have proven that your heart's in it. But because you were over here just tapping it a little bit, you're not going to have victory. You're not going to have any lasting victory. Because your heart was not in it. When we go through seasons of apathy, what happens to us? Well, I read a little Bible. There's such a good documentary on Netflix. I think I just can't make myself pray today. Lord, just remember me, God. Help me today. Just do a little tap, maybe. I didn't get the answer that I wanted, so I'll pray a little bit more, you know, later. Man, I'm really living in apathy and isolation. I tried a life group. It didn't work for me. You kind of get that spirituality, I mean, I tried the tithe, I gave, and I got this bill I wasn't expecting, so God, I'll just give you a little bit on the side there. You know what a royal heart is? A royal heart is one that picks the arrows up and says, you know what? Today I'm going to pray, and I'm going to keep praying, and I'm not going to stop praying until the prophet tells me to stop praying. I'm going to read the word, even though I don't understand everything it says, but I know his word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path, and I'm going to keep reading it, and I'm going to honor God first in my life with my finances, because I believe that he is my provision and he is my help, and I'm not going to stop. I'm not going to stop till the arrows break or the prophet says stop. That's passion. With your whole heart. With all that you have. Sometimes we want just a little church or a little Bible thought or a little Jesus with a little coffee. We say, is that enough? Why would you think that's enough? Why would you think that's enough? Because there's apathy in your heart. Look, I'm not speaking condemnation over anybody. I'm speaking challenge to everybody. And I've got a question for you. Is it okay for us to challenge ourselves? Is that okay? Or do you want to be a different kind of church? What kind of church do you want to be? You want to go deeper? And you want to really talk about issues of the heart and receive some challenge? Or do you want to just say, well, a little, here. No. That's a little coffee, little Jesus, little scripture, little church. Let's just check the box and do a little bit. That is not what the scripture teaches us. What is passion? Passion is defined by what are you willing to sacrifice for? That's what determines your passion. Now, David is this towering figure of passion. And to be honest with you, if you read the life of David, I look at him and it's intimidating. And I go, my goodness. How could any of us ever live up to this towering figure of passion and this passionate heart that he had to do the right thing so many times when everything was against him? But even King David had a moment of apathy. And if you know the story, you've heard about David and Bathsheba. And it was one of the defining moments of David's life. And look at 2 Samuel 11:1. In the spring, at the time when kings go off to war, look at the last line. But David remained in Jerusalem. Kings were not supposed to be in the palace. They were supposed to be on the battlefield. The kings were supposed to be engaged in battle, not hiding in the comfort of the palace. But apathy had gotten into David's heart, and apathy led to one of the worst decisions that he ever made. He slept with another man's wife. She got pregnant. He had her husband killed. The baby was born, and then the baby died. Can I tell you something? One bad decision did more damage in David's life than any enemy ever did. And can I tell you what's inside your heart has a greater potential to do damage in your life than all of the other things out here that we spend all of our time worried about and focused on. The baby died, David lost his kingdom, and his legacy was tarnished forever, and we're still talking about it thousands of years later. Proverbs 4:23 says, above all else. You know what this series is? Above all else. Above all else, guard your heart, for everything you do flows from it. A royal heart is a heart that's engaged in battle. Now, I got a question for you. Would you choose you? Would you choose you? Based on where your heart is today, if you were God, would you choose you? 2 Chronicles 6:19 says, for the eyes of the Lord range throughout the earth to strengthen those whose hearts are fully committed. God is searching the earth, looking for people who are fully committed to Him so that He might strengthen their hearts. Wow. Would you choose you? So what do you do? If you're in a season of apathy, what do you do? If you're in an apathy phase, what do? Let me give you three quick things. These will be fast. Number one, do the heart work. This is the work that we tend to avoid. We prefer to be busy, to run errands, to numb out on a screen. We prefer to complain, to talk about all that's wrong in the world, to talk about what disappointed us, to look at what everybody else is doing. But the heart work is when you slow down and you look inside and you say, what's going on in my heart? Like, where am I at in my relationship, in my passion level with God, and my willingness to sacrifice for Him? Where am I at inside of my heart? It's not the circumstances. It's not what everybody else is doing. It's not even your own actions. It's look at your heart. How's it going? What's your number one passion? If you're just honest with yourself, if you look inside your heart and you're honest with yourself, where does most of your excitement flow from? Where does most of your energy flow from in the week? What do you look forward to the most? Is your life orbiting around your relationship with God, or is really your relationship with God one of the little stars or planets orbiting around your life, and your life is actually centered in something else? The heart work. Look inside. David looked inside and he realized there was apathy in his heart. And that's where Psalm 51 comes from. And when David saw apathy in his heart, here's what he wrote. Create in me a pure heart, O God, and renew a steadfast spirit within me. Do not cast me from your presence or take your Holy Spirit from me. Restore to me the joy of your salvation and grant me a willing spirit to sustain me. David confessed and repented. And can I just suggest to you, when you're in a season of apathy, that's the right thing to do, is to look inside your heart and say, what's happened? What's going on in my heart? And then to cry out to God and say, God, clean my heart. Wherever I've drifted, wherever I've gotten out of alignment, wherever that's happened, God, create in me a clean heart to sustain me, and keep doing it until your heart warms back up. Number two, do what you used to do. Do you know after this time of repentance, David started to go and do the things he used to do? He started to engage in prayer and with the scripture and at the altar and with godly people and with worship. Revelation 2, 4, and 5 says it like this, yet I hold this against you. You've forsaken the love you had at first. Consider how far you've fallen. Repent and do the things you did at first. If your passion's gone, go back and do the things you did at first. Let's put it back in marriage again. You in the apathy phase of marriage. You in the Go back and do what you used to do. Say nice things to each other. We don't feel like saying nice things to each other because she's mean and he's mad and all of that. Well, that's why you are where you are. Date again. Go back and do the things you were doing when things were better. And this is what this scripture is telling us. Go back and do the thing. What was it that you were doing when your passion for God was high? What were you doing? Now, here's what I'm not saying. This is a big mistake that most of us make by instinct. We try to go back and recreate some experience we had with God in the past. Do not do that. There's nothing in that experience but a good memory, the truth that God shared with you, and death. It's empty. It's gone. Don't try to recreate something God did, because God's the one that did it. So you can't just recreate it and then he's in it. He's not in it anymore. Move on and find God in a fresh way in similar places. And so if it was in the context of a group Bible study, if it was in reading the Word, if it was in prayer, if it was in worship, if it was in serving, if it was in giving, if it was in journaling, what were the things you used to do when your heart was on fire? Go back and do those things again. Meet God again. And here's what will happen. Your heart will follow your actions. Your heart will align behind your actions. Which brings me to number three, move forward in faith. You know, feelings are a great indicator, but they're a terrible guide. If you follow your feelings, you will blow up your life. You will blow up your life. You'll blow up your relationships if you follow your feelings. And so feelings are not supposed to, faith is not supposed to follow feelings. Feelings are supposed to follow faith. And so what happens when you move forward in faith, when you take a step of faith, when you take a step of obedience in faith, when you take a step toward God in faith, you know what begins to happen? You say, I'm going to move my body where I want my heart to go. I'm going to move my body. I'm going to physically move. I'm going to mentally move. I'm going to take a step by faith toward God and in faith believing my heart is going to follow. And you know, we know that it will. Look, that's what Jesus said about giving. He said, where your treasure is, your heart will be also. So what happens is when a person starts to give, their heart starts to move toward what they're giving to because they've invested there. And that principle works with everything. You want your heart to move toward God? Start moving yourself toward God in faith. Say, by faith, I believe. I don't feel. Because to be honest with you, I don't feel great right now. Or I don't feel like doing it. Or I don't have the motivation. Or I don't have the energy. If you're waiting on lightning to strike and the feeling to get right, it's not going to get right. And again, you'll swirl in immaturity and you'll get stuck in that season and you'll never get out. And so you don't have to become like a super soldier. You don't have to go way overboard. But you just take those simple steps of faith. God, by faith today, I take this one step. By faith today, I take this one step. By faith today, I take this one step. And as you take that step of obedience and step of faith, what's going to happen is your heart is going to line up with you and follow. And you are going to meet God in a fresh way in time. So how's your heart? How's your passion? How's your passion for life, for your relationships, for the job God's called you to, for parenting? How's your passion for knowing God, for being a friend of His, for becoming a person after His own heart? How's your passion for church? How's your passion for worship? How's your passion for serving? How's your passion for engagement? How's your passion? How's it going? Are you substituting other things in life that you're excited about, but they're not really passion? They're just things of the world. They may be even gifts that God's given to you, and they're exciting to you and they're distracting to you, but they don't really fill the void in your heart that only God can fill. And how's your passion? If not, do what David did. Confess. Turn. Move forward in faith. And ask God to do a work in your heart. Would you stand with me this morning? As our worship team comes to lead us in this song, would you just ask the Lord today, God, do a work in my heart. Wherever you are, whatever you're doing, whatever's going on in your life, whatever the circumstances are, Don't let your attention drift to what happened last week, what's going to happen this week, what's going to happen tonight or tomorrow. Turn your focus in on your own heart. Say, God, search me today. God, help me to see in my heart what you see in my heart. Lord, clean my heart, wash my heart. Make me new. Refresh and restore. God, breathe life. Breathe life today, God. Breathe life on us. And in the next couple of minutes, would you just continue to pray that, Lord, search my heart. In a minute, we'll come and pray.